This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and it's great to be back with you here on President's Day. We begin today's show with a look at the realities for asylum seekers trying to come to the United States but being held just across the border in Mexico. Earlier this year, a group of roughly 1,700 Central American migrants traveled toward the United States with the goal of requesting asylum at the Eagle Pass port of entry. Instead, the asylum seekers were detained by Mexican security forces before they even reached the U.S. border. Local authorities have since held the migrants in an abandoned factory in the Mexican town of Piedras Negras, Coahuila, and media outlets have not been allowed inside the facility, but journalists have been able to interview migrants through a fence.
I hope we can all go through to the U.S. because it's for a future for our children. What we want is a future for our kids, like everyone else in the world, because in our country, we can't guarantee that.
Last week, migrants attempted to escape the facility, but Mexican security forces and riot police blocked their exit. Some migrants with Mexican humanitarian visas have been allowed to leave the property, but they were placed on buses to parts unknown, preventing them from seeking asylum at the Eagle Pass port of entry.
No.
We don't want to return to our country. The truth is that the situation in Honduras is very, very ugly. It's really bad with the violence, as well as basic resources, and there is also no work.
On Saturday, Mexican officials announced plans to close the Piedras Negras compound this week, with plans to bus the remaining migrants to neighboring cities. Meanwhile, President Trump is moving forward with his declaration of a national emergency in order to divert money to build the border wall. And according to immigration advocates, it's a change in policy under the Trump administration that has created a bottleneck for migrants in border towns like Piedras Negras. Advocates have noted that the U.S. government is currently processing just 15 asylum claims per day at the port of entry. For more on the conditions for asylum seekers on the Mexican side of the border, we now turn to Alice Driver. She's a freelance journalist based in Mexico who's been reporting from Piedras Negras, and she also collected the audio we just heard. Alice, thanks for joining us again on The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about this current group of migrants who are being held in this facility. Where are they from and who are they? Are we talking families?
So the group left from Honduras. It was around 2,000 people, they say, when it left. And by the time they arrived in Piedras Negras, it was around 1,700. And so most of them are from Honduras, but a few are from El Salvador. Most are families with children, I would say. I think almost 50% of the group is children. Looking at the facility, the children are just playing and hanging out and around the fence. And I talked to several children when I was there on Saturday.
You interviewed some of the migrants in the facility through the fence. Let's listen to a little bit of your interview with Josue.
With all that we have suffered and then being stuck here, we will come out on top. There are children here. Look, children who are also coming from where we are. And look, for them, they should let us leave the factory, right? If we as adults are frustrated, imagine what the kids are feeling. We're sick. We're frustrated.
Alice, what have you been hearing about the conditions within the facility? As we mentioned at the top of the segment, journalists are not allowed inside the facility.
Yeah, so journalists haven't been allowed inside, but you come up to the facility, it's an old factory. It's surrounded by the Army, Mexican Army, and National Police. It's heavily guarded, but they let journalists freely ask questions through the fence, so I didn't have any problems interviewing people. And I interviewed a mother, a 28-year-old mother named Ingrid, and she had her 3-year-old son with her, Aaron, and she said, "It's ugly. I've never been locked up. It's like being a prisoner. They've treated us well, but we should be free. We haven't done anything." What I did hear is that, you know, they have food and they've been treated well, but they don't understand why they're essentially prisoners, especially with so many children for an undefined period of time.
What about medical personnel? We know journalists haven't been allowed in, but are medical personnel on site?
There are some medical personnel, but I did see that they, for example, did not let Doctors Without Borders in. And people there were complaining of being sick. They said there wasn't enough medical attention. They had colds, things like that. But they did say that there was some medical attention there, just maybe not enough.
On The Takeaway, we did a story a couple weeks ago about the U.S.'s Remain in Mexico asylum policy. This is also known officially as migrant protection protocols. Is this connected to that? This was the idea that President Trump said, basically, folks that are coming here to ask for asylum have to be held in Mexico. Is this the same thing?
That's a good question. I don't think it's the same thing because it hasn't been announced as that. I mean, if you're going to take a group of migrants and tell them that for their own security, you are basically locking them in an old factory, it seems like there should be some due process before you essentially treat a group of people as prisoners. I'm wondering if the Trump administration is testing out some kind of policy, because in practice, you are allowed to request asylum. And the biggest complaint of people I interviewed was that they have not been allowed to request asylum.
But now this is a decision that the Mexican government is making, not the U.S. government, which is why it's sort of interesting. Is there some sort of, is there an agreement that we know of outside of this Remain in Mexico asylum policy that could be doing this? Or what's the incentive for the Mexican government to basically hold these people in custody?
Well, I spoke to the public security chief of Coahuila on Saturday, Jose Luis Pliego, and I asked him about U.S. involvement in this. And he said that they are working closely with U.S. agencies. He didn't define what that means, but it definitely seems to be a binational effort. And actually, yesterday, a representative from the House of Representatives in Texas was at the facility, Ramon Romero, and he said that the U.S. government should support the state of Coahuila financially to help deal with the costs of keeping the caravan enclosed at the factory.
We should also be clear that asking for asylum is a legal thing. Eagle Pass, the city that shares this border with Piedras Negras in Mexico, is really where these folks were attempting to go. You went to Eagle Pass. What did you see there?
I was in Eagle Pass. I actually met with the sheriff of Eagle Pass. And I think what is interesting is that most people on the border have a very practical view of migration. And because so many of the people who, for example, are building houses and doing agricultural work are migrants, often both documented and undocumented. And so a lot of people wish there were more practical policies that reflected the need that we have for workers. And so that's something that the sheriff had talked about when I was with him.
It feels like these are groups of folks who want to migrate to the United States, plead asylum. They're being held in Mexico. What type of burden does that put on the Mexican law enforcement, or if any?
So the mayor of Piedras Negras, Claudio Bres, actually gave a press conference yesterday, and he said, does the caravan have a cost? Of course it has a cost. And so I don't know what the agreement is in terms of who's paying for all of this. In the press conferences, nobody has clarified that point.
One of the other things we're also talking about is how this plays into the President Trump, his latest declaration of a national emergency so that he can get the wall built on this side of the border. You've been at the border. What have you seen, Alice? Is there a national emergency happening there?
So I've been actually traveling the border for the last 8 days. And so I was in Juarez when President Trump declared the national emergency. And so I think that there is an emergency. It's not how he has framed it. The emergency currently is that because migrants are being limited or prevented from requesting asylum, or for example, in Piedras Negras, they're being closed up in a factory as if they were prisoners, there's a huge level of frustration and desperation, and also just a buildup of migrants. Yesterday, I was in the International Bridge in Nuevo Laredo, and there are Venezuelans and Cubans and families from the Congo sleeping on that bridge because they have not been allowed to request asylum. And so I talked to them. I said, do you know you're waiting to request asylum? Has any official told you what the process is or when you'll be able to request? And they said, no, we're just sleeping in the order that we arrived so that hopefully at some point we can request asylum.
Alice, what's the future for the folks that are housed there? We said they're going to be bussed out. Is this something that we're going to continue to see under this new policy potentially?
That is a very good question. And when I talked to the chief of public security, all he would say is that that factory is going to be shut down and they won't use it again. But he didn't say if this is a practice or a policy that they're going to replicate with future groups of migrants.
Alice Driver is a freelance journalist based in Mexico. Alice, thanks so much for your reporting.
No, thank you for having me.
Alice has been reporting on the border town of Piedras Negras in Mexico, where migrants have been detained by local authorities in a factory.